said, are you ready? And then you're typing a manifesto over here.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of Charles J. Gatow?
I don't feel like you're saying it right, but okay. Charles J.
J.
Gatow?
Gatow.
No.
So this was actually recommended.
Does he play the Gatow?
Oh my God. This was actually recommended to us by our Patreon supporter, Rabid, by the username Rabid.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know
what
you
about
just stopped talking. You just like, you were like, by Rabid?
There's no last name.
I don't think Rabid's their first name. I don't think that's like, I don't think there doesn't even be a last
I just
name.
I don't want someone listening to be like, oh, is it me?
Wait, is,
is he talking about?
Is he talking about me? Rabid Phillips?
What do you think about it, Rabid Phillips? Did you recommend this? Are you a Patreon supporter? Those are the couple other questions you could ask.
Okay.
All right. No. So this guy, Charles J. Gatow, he's famous for something. Notably, assassinating the United States President James A. Garfield in 1881. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's the least interesting thing that happened in his life.
Shut up. Okay. Because get this. All right. 23 years later, after he assassinated, he ran in the Olympic race.
So here's what happened to this guy. So he was born in,
I hope,
1841 in Freeport, Illinois.
Okay.
And
do you think they got a sign for him? This is real. Like, do you don't want to honor him, but like, do you think like it is that we're just like, hey, we're Freeport, Illinois, we're home of that guy.
Home of presidential assassin Charles J. Gatow.
I'm serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're just like, and it's like almost like a, it's like a, not a memorial, but it's almost like we're like, I mean, yeah, he's from here, you know?
Oh my gosh. So his mother died shortly after his birth. And by shortly after his birth, I mean about 14 years after his birth. So from,
okay.
From what the doctor described, postpartum psychosis.
Oh.
Which I think is just the way, like, you remember early psychology?
Yeah, and they were like, you're depressed because you have a kid. That's kind of like, what it was. Like, you had a kid and that messed you up.
Yeah.
Now you're depressed.
Yeah, and it was pretty much, yeah, they pretty much just, like, psychosis was kind of just the diagnosis they gave you if, like, you were kind of sad, and it could mean anything. And she died of it, apparently. So I think what really happened is they just didn't understand what happened.
But she didn't like take her life or anything.
She died
of psychosis?
Of postpartum psychosis. Yeah. Okay. I think what that means is they don't know what happened.
Yeah. And they were just like, put something on there.
Yeah. They're like, it's postpartum psychosis.
Yeah.
And then, so a little bit after.
Here's a joke you can cut out or leave it. I don't care. Yeah, just write COVID-19 on the thing. just write COVID or. That's funny. I don't know. Leave it in. It's funny. Some of those jokes make me sound like a conspiracy person, but yeah. I'm not. You know?
You're not. You're not.
But it's funny to make fun of them as if I am.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So his father later died a couple years later.
Of his mother's postpartum. It was contagious.
It was contagious. So his father died a little while later, and he inherited $1,000, which is worth $29,000 today.
Okay.
And so he moves to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he goes to the University of Michigan.
Where everyone goes, Ann Arbor.
the University of Michigan, and
the LA of the Midwest.
But he tried to attend the University of Michigan, but he failed the entrance exams because the school he went to only taught him French and algebra in high school. Two pretty useless things. And so he took the entrance exam. He's like, there's a lot of other stuff on this that I know nothing about. he ends up
long division.
He's like, what is long division? I've never heard of this.
I only know.
He's like, I can solve for X.
I can solve this. And
I can say X in French. Also
ahead.
X.
I was going to say it. Go ahead, say it.
Also X. and so then, because he failed joining the University of Michigan, he instead joined what a lot of people considered a cult, the Oneida community in Oneida, New York.
Okay.
I said
New York.
I just freaking telephone operator to that.
I love you, Newark. like make those I heart in Y shirts, but it's I heart Y in. You, Newark.
You, Newark. Here's the thing about this Oneida community.
The big orange.
This was a ridiculous group.
Of Oneida?
Oneida, yeah. Okay. So this was a Christian community that people call a cult. because the founder, John Humphrey Noyes, his goal was he thinks that people here and now are capable of perfection, just like Jesus. And he said we should strive for that.
Yeah.
And so they got in this community and they set up this community around not sinning.
Which, I mean, sounds like...
Yeah,
a lot of Christian movements.
Yeah, yeah. Except for what they did instead is
one of their main phrases was "modest is hottest."
Oh, gosh, that's annoying. And so, what was interesting about this is a couple things. There's a couple things that they did in this thing. One of them was mutual criticism, where a couple times a week they would just get together to point out everything that was wrong with each other.
Which works.
Yeah. So essentially,
that's what you and I do.
We just get together and we're like, hey, you know, you kind of suck.
Yeah. Do you want to go to lunch after this? On me, brother.
Yeah. So, they would get really intense with their criticism of each other.
Of course.
And just kind of rip each other apart.
Yeah.
So
there's no way that can go wrong.
There was this other thing that's very, seems counter. It doesn't seem to go in line with the whole, you know, we're perfect thing. They practiced what was called complex marriage. Which essentially meant everybody was married to everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yep.
And you're married to all of them. The catch was you couldn't have children unless the leader of the cult interviewed you and deemed you able to parent.
It's interesting. I was trying to figure out what... I was looking up and kind of reading about like what defines a cult. Because there was a few church groups in the Pacific Northwest that were like kind of culty.
Yeah.
But they just didn't have a leader who, I don't want to say dictated, but like oversaw. Like it's usually got that sexual element as far as like everyone can either sexual freedom or only these people can have, you know. Mm-hmm. And the leader usually oversees that part.
Yep. And it's usually, there's usually some sort of charismatic leader who kind of twists everything to make him great, you know?
But for some reason, this article was saying that in order to be defined as a cult, it had to involve a sexual element in some way.
Huh. Interesting. I never heard of that.
But I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, Charles loved the cult leader. Like he worshiped this cult leader. But he was, here's the thing about Charles. Charles is that guy, in your friend group who you're kind of like, I wish you weren't here, you know, like, but like, not like, but not like in like a mean way. It's like a, like, he's the one, like, it's like
I'm pointing at Alex.
it's like, he's the guy who like
it took him a second to get it too. Cause he's just watching this on the screen. And I'm just over here. I'm pointing at him. And like, it was like, he was like,
Oh, No, but like in like a way where it's like, yeah, he's pretty annoying and you hear him a lot and you're like, ah, yeah, he's saying that stuff again. But it's also in the way where it's like, he's hitting on your mom all the time and like, he's fighting, he picks fights with you.
What kind of friends did you
like,
have?
You're like, I really don't want to be friends. That's Charles. Charles is the guy where you're like, I wish you
know,
we weren't friends.
He's hitting on your mom all the time. You know that friend. You know that friend? Yeah.
We've all had that friend. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
golly. He is Charles hitting on people's moms?
Yeah, everybody. Well, I don't know.
Speaking if of Charles moms, hitting on moms, right? One of our $25 Patreon supporters is Charles Myers, my dad, who pretty often hits on my mom, flirts with her a lot. I don't like it, and but he's a Patreon supporter. So, you know, thanks for doing that, Charles. Supports at $25 a month, and. You know, it was pretty awkward because our $25 patrons get a little, they get an exclusive mug.
Yeah.
Right. And Patreon sends that out.
Yeah.
And so my dad got his mug.
Yeah.
But he got it like last week and we're mm-hmm. recording this on the 25th or whatever of June. Mm-hmm. Right. So Sunday was Father's Day. He thought that was his Father's Day gift. Right. And there was a part of me that was like, I'm not going to tell him.
Well, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to let him believe that's his Father's Day gift. I didn't. But he got it and he was like, oh, thanks. And I was like, yeah. You know, anyway, if you're thanks, a Patreon Charles. Supporter, there's, you know, especially the $25 level one, we're mentioning you in episodes, but also you get exclusive merch, you get insight into the episodes beforehand, and you don't have to listen to an advertisement like this one. Hey, thanks for being here. We've got merchandise. It's a way to support the show and help us do more stuff, buy new equipment, reach more people. If you like what we're doing and want to help us do that more, please consider doing that. If you want a link to that, all of that's going to be sent to you if you just text Tillin to 66866. I'll tell you, it's not a thing where we're going to text you a lot. We're not. It's not a text service. We're not going to like send you more than more. It's just a way for you to get a link. It's one text. That's all we're going to send. I promise you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Charles, because people hated him so much in this group, like he...
Charles J. Gatto.
Charles Gatto. Right. And so he spent 5 years there and everybody... They hated
5 years
him.
In the cult?
Yeah, he spent 5 years there.
How long do cults run?
I don't know. It just depends on how...
We should talk more about cults later. Go ahead.
And so the people hated him so much that...
Lobbyists honestly, and cults.
Honestly, this is the reason why I wanted to tell you about this guy. The cult gave him the nickname Charles Get Out.
They're like, how do we get this message across? And he did, and they gave him that in year two. He stayed around for 3 more years. Charles, get out.
Here's Charles, get out.
Hey, here's Charles, get out. Why do you guys call me that? That's so funny.
So funny, guys. Oh,
man. Hey, by the way, your mom, hot. Your mom is so hot.
Have you seen your mom?
Oh, man. Is she around?
Is she around? I've been looking for your mom.
I just really loved, I would love to have a complex marriage with your mom. You know what I'm saying? No. Oh, man. Charles, get out.
No. So Charles ended up leaving the cult after 5 years there.
Yeah.
because he
just
didn't
gave
fit
him
in.
A nickname. He was like,
he just didn't fit in.
But he made it seem like it was his decision. You know, it was like, you know what, guys, I just got to go on to other things. Yep. I'm going to go my own way. And they were like, all right. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah. So he left, and he said, okay, what do I got going for me? I didn't get a college degree. I spent 5 years in a cult. I've got 29 grand that I spent all moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he's like, well, what am I going to do? He's like, oh, I'll be a lawyer in Chicago. So he moves to Chicago and he becomes a lawyer, and somehow he passes the exam.
Which is the American dream. I mean, you can really start over.
Yeah. So he passes the bar. This man,
yeah,
who only knows French and algebra, passes the bar.
Well, that's all the bar is. It's French and algebra. French algebra.
He coincidentally did not have a successful law career.
Okay.
He only argued one case in court, which we don't have a record of how it went, but I'm going to bet not great.
Because he's nervous. He's shaking. And he goes, Your Honor.
What?
This is a French accent.
He's Your not Honor. French,
yeah. Well, he can only speak French. I don't know. Are you telling me he spoke French with like a Southern accent? Wee wee. What are you talking about? He's not French. You're telling me that Charles, yeah, of course he's weird and doesn't fit in with, but imagine not fitting in with cult people, you know, like they're already the fringe of society. Where do you go after that? You go to Chicago Law. All right. And then you're up there and you're just like, I don't know, Your Honor. He's nervous. He's like, I, Charles, get out.
I like to picture that he said something really offensive or like something you're not supposed to do in the courtroom. And the judge was like, Charles, get out. And he's like, oh, that's what my friend.
He's
used to
like,
call
wait,
me.
Were you part of the,
were you there? And so when that didn't work,
Charles, get out.
When that didn't work, he was like, okay. He's like, law didn't really work. He's like, I can get into the business of bill collecting. So he became a bill collector. And pretty quickly on, he was like, wait a second. He's like, I could go collect this money for people's bills and then just go back to the people who were looking for the bills and tell them they didn't pay.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he was collecting people's bills and not paying the people back.
He's just stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he
yeah.
was doing...
That's exactly...
It's a pretty old scheme.
Yeah.
Isn't that what tax collectors in... Jewish tax collectors did that?
It's similar. They would ask for more than was being asked for, and they would keep the excess.
They would still pay the Romans because
they still pay back.
Really are, when you look at AT&T's business model, they take after the Romans. Like the Romans would kill you.
So in 1869, still a bill collector, he marries a librarian named Annie Bunn, who
Annie
I
Bunn?
Guess just didn't see it.
That's the most 60s name I've ever heard in my life. Like, I imagine that she's living in black and white. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Annie Bunn? That's straight up like a black and white name.
That's pretty accurate.
She talks like this. I'm little Annie Bunn.
That's, yeah.
He's like, well, you are whatever his accent is. We don't know. He's like, well, you are Annie Godot now. So.
Godot. I don't know how this happened. Like, I guess she just didn't see it. Like, I don't know if like everything I read about this guy is that nobody liked him. Everybody was like, this guy's awful. And he was also a crook. And so it's like, I mean, I don't know, but she fell in love with him. And
yeah, but I mean, like, you know, Manson had admirers,
I guess,
but I mean that's because you committed crimes. That's different, I guess.
I mean, we talked about this, the cult hated him. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. Anyways,
maybe she sucked too. You don't know Annie Bunn.
I guess I don't.
She sounds like she didn't. She sounds really sweet. You know, she sounds like she is an angel.
All we know about her is her name, though.
Yeah.
She was a librarian.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So the bill collectors ended up, the people who needed the bills ended up catching on to what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And they started sending bill collectors after him.
Right.
And so he's like, I know what I'll do. I'll move to New York. In the late 1800s. So it's like, I'll move to New York. You move out of state and you're almost untraceable at this point. Like you disappear off
the face. That's how dads left.
They're like, yeah, we'll move to New York.
Yeah, for real.
And so while he was in New York,
you could do that up until probably 2002. You could just disappear.
Just be gone forever.
For real.
Yeah, that's actually pretty true.
You can't do that now. You have the location of my phone on you. Like, you could look up my location anytime.
Yeah, you could never disappear from me.
Okay. That sounded threatening the way you said it, but go ahead. I'm not even going to say bless you.
Okay, thanks.
I hope that that's a disease.
So, he ends up while he's in New York, he's like, well, I got to do something different. Law didn't work. Bill collecting kind of went bad on me. What am I going to get into? And so then he was like, politics.
Makes sense.
And so he got into politics. He identified with the Democratic Party. And
this is in what year?
This is 1872.
Okay.
So he supports Horace Greeley, who was a candidate for president. And it doesn't go well. He didn't win.
Really?
Yeah. He prepared a speech for Greeley, and it didn't, like, Greeley hated the speech, and he was mad at Gateau about it. And he was convinced that, I'm having a hard time. Greeley, Gateau, they're two different people. Gateau was convinced that if Greeley won, Greeley would make Gateau the minister to the nation of Chile. For no reason. Like, nothing ever was told to him.
I'm the minister to the nation of Chile's.
And so he was really, really mad.
I'm the U.S. ambassador to Chile's.
So
we should go to Chile's after this. You want to go there?
Huh?
You want to go to Chili's after this?
Kind of, actually.
Yeah, one of our sponsors. We might as well go. Chili's. You've heard of them. Like, what is that?
That's the slogan.
They don't need you podcast commercials because you know about them.
You know
them.
Chili's. You know the Chili's?
You know.
That's
so dumb. So he was convinced that he would become the minister. Okay.
Yeah. And then when Greeley lost, he was mad at Greeley because he's like, this is your fault.
I wrote the speech.
He's like, if you would have just read the speech.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, but the speech had all a bunch of stuff about my opponent's mom in it. I wasn't going to read that in front of a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, his marriage to Anne is not going well.
Oh, Annie Bun.
Yeah, is not going well.
Annie Bun sounds like you make up a little cartoon character and it's like, Annie Bun.
It's actually pretty accurate.
It's really good.
Well, they wanted a divorce.
And name my kid Annie Bun.
Here's the thing. They wanted a divorce, but at that time, you couldn't just get a divorce just because. Like, you had to have like a good reason for it.
Yeah.
And really the only good reason,
which now you probably should still have a good reason to get divorced, but you don't legally have to have one.
But back then, pretty much the only legal reason you could get a divorce was infidelity.
Yeah.
So Gateau was like, I'll just hire a prostitute and bring her to the court. And so he does that. And then afterwards he makes her testify.
The court doesn't have to see it. You know, the court doesn't have to like,
yeah. So
you don't go to the court and be like, my husband cheated on me. And the court's like,
prove it.
Yeah. I don't see him cheat. He's not cheating on you right now.
She ain't here.
That's how he talks. She ain't here. I don't see her.
Yeah. So
he hires a lady.
Yeah. And
a lady of Unork to come with him to court.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they get the divorce. Then Gateau is like, well, politics didn't work. Law was boring. Bill collecting was weird. The cult was kind of fun though. And so he's like, I'll get back into theology.
Oh gosh.
And so he writes a book on theology called The Truth. Very well named, which, obviously, was, a exact plagiarism from the work of Noyes, the cult leader. Like, he literally just took his book and was like, this is my book, The Truth.
The Truth. Well, which you could do. There was no proof of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's no national distribution at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he just stole his book and called it his own book.
When did he get caught with that?
Well, he became increasingly convinced that he was divinely inspired, and he called himself the new Paul. And he was preaching. He's like, I'm preaching a new gospel to the world. When it was really, he just took the providing some noise. Somehow he was able to get like people to just listen to him. And so in 1877, he actually gave a lecture at the Congressional Church in Washington, D.C. from his book, The Truth. And so he had a lot of people kind of like eating out of the palm of his hand for a while. And as he was going down this religious road,
okay,
he began gaining some more political clout because he was in D.C.
Right.
And everybody in D.C. at the time was very religious. And so he was gaining this political clout. And so in the 80s, he switched to the political party or the Republican Party and got back into politics to help people in politics, which I want to for a second highlight this because in the late 1800s.
Phones just come out.
Yeah, actually, phones just came out. You could call someone across your town.
What was he doing during the Civil War? Phone.
I don't know. I actually don't see anything in his life about what he did in the Civil War. Probably nothing. He was probably working on his theology manifesto that he stole.
Yeah, how do you work on that? Just every day you're like...
copy, paste.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. Copy, pasting. You're right. On his MacBook Air. Idiot.
I kid you not. So the Republicans...
Yeah, don't kid me, please.
The Republicans, at this point, they split. The Republican Party was split into two factions, right?
Right.
And I can't make this up. This is the name of the two factions of the Republican Party at this time.
Hey, thanks for being here for Things I Learned Last Night. If you want bonus content, early access to episodes, and a whole lot more, including a Discord channel, we have that available to our Patreon supporters. To sign up for that and for more info, text Tillin to 66866.
They were the stalwarts and the half-breeds.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is literally like some Harry Potter stuff.
I was trying to do it. You jumped on it. I was going to be like, yeah, it's the sixth book.
Yeah, so...
I'll handle the jokes.
He signs...
you just bring this stuff and I'll fill in the other stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll try. I'm not funny all the time. Our YouTube comments and reviews really are... They'll tell us that we're not.
So he joins.
Speaking of reviews, I teed you for it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, good idea.
Cut this part out where I'm mad at him. Goodness gracious. I teed you for it.
Well, actually, a review we want to highlight is this review we got that says Jared never edits it out.
Yeah. We read your podcast reviews, so keep doing that, please.
And we like them. We like them when they're funny. They make us laugh like that one.
I also like them when they're one star. Those are even funnier to me. Don't leave one star reviews. Like don't, because that'll hurt us.
Yeah.
But like, I enjoy the ones that genuinely hate our show.
Genuinely hate us. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, for real, reviews for the podcast help us out a lot. So
yeah,
take a second.
Keep doing that.
To review it.
Who left that? Did they leave a name?
I don't think so. Actually, I think that one was anonymous.
It's actually, we have like 195 reviews and it's all meats and grains. And then one from my dad.
And then one from Charles. And it was literally, he thought he was texting you. My dad. He was like, hey, is this mug your father's taking?
I love
this.
My dad was so confused on how to use his phone that he was texting me and accidentally left a podcast review. He even hit the number of stars.
He's like, this is weird. He's like, I guess this is a 5-star text message. He's like, I feel good about it. 5-star text.
20-minute wait at Texas Roadhouse. You know how we want to start flooding Yelp reviews? Yeah. I think we should do that. We should take pictures and then the captions are all things we would just send as text messages. Send as text messages. Golly, that sucks.
Yeah, so he decides to support the stalwarts.
The stalwarts.
And so this time he takes Ulysses S. Grant's side, who beat his the person he sided with last time. He's like, perfect strategy. Side with the winner this time. And so he writes a speech for Ulysses S. Grant called Grant Against Hancock.
Oh, okay.
Which later, when things didn't go well with Ulysses, he sided with Andrew Garfield. And he just took that same speech and just changed everything from that said Grant to Garfield.
Garfield versus
Garfield against Hancock. And so,
and the speech starts with "Ask not," because
what the stalwarts can do for you.
Yeah, because I mean, that's all it is. The government's all plagiarism.
Yep, yep. And so, what's great about it is, I'm pretty sure both of those speeches were given. I'm pretty sure Ulysses S. Grant gave that speech, and then Andrew Garfield ended up giving that speech as well. And all that changed was just the name Grant to Garfield.
Interesting.
And so Garfield ends up winning, and now Gateau is like, "Sweet, I am the new
Minister to Chile."
Minister to Chile.
What was his fascination? Do we know where it came from?
I have no idea. Like, there's no explanation, but he...
But he didn't get named that. He was just like...
Yeah, he was just like, I'm the Minister to Chile now. And,
And Garfield was like, well, not really. And he's like, but I wrote that speech. And he's like, well, I mean, you wrote it for Ulysses. And he gave that speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also gave that. So, no, I mean, like...
So, I mean, Minister to Chile? Well, yeah, so that's actually really close to what happened. Garfield was like, well, actually, pump the brakes, bud. You're not. We actually don't have one of those. We don't do ministers here in the U.S.
I love that. I love that Garfield talks like a startup company in San Francisco. Actually, pump the brakes on that.
Can we talk over a game of ping pong?
Yeah, like, you know, like, we don't really have, like, we don't have offices, you know, so I wouldn't want to invite him out. But maybe we could go to the talking corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes there, buddy. So Gateau, he realized that the president is too strong to kill with a knife. That's what he said in a quote. And he's like, so because I can't be the representative, I'm going to have to buy a gun.
He said that to somebody else. That's in a quote?
Yeah, that's a quote.
Well, so he's talking to reporters?
He's like, yeah, he was too strong to kill with a
knife. He's outside and someone's like, why did you do it? How did you do it? He's like, well, he's too strong to kill with a knife.
Literally, the quote said, he said, Garfield would have crushed the life out of me with a single blow of his fist. And so he settled on a pistol, instead to try to kill him.
Who's he talking to?
I don't know. Some reporter. So he borrows, $15 from his ex-wife's relative. Like, I don't know what relative, like his ex-wife's cousin. He's like, hey, can Annie I borrow $15?
Hey, what's Annie up to? Well, she's making pretzels now, actually. and the profits are pretty good. Can I borrow $15?
Yeah, can I get $15? And so, yeah, he borrows $15, and he buys a revolver, which he ended up having to make a choice at the gun store. Do I want a wooden grip or an ivory grip? And he told reporters afterwards, he said he selected the ivory grip because he thought it would look better in a museum.
what a psychopath.
So yeah, he selects the ivory grip, and he goes and he shoots Andrew Garfield. And Andrew Garfield ended up dying in the hospital, which what's really sad about it is modern doctors have looked back at what happened there and they've reviewed the case and they think that Andrew Garfield would have survived if he didn't go seek medical attention because their sanitization was just so bad. He ended up getting an infection and dying of an infection, not of the actual bullet wound. So they think he would have survived if he didn't go to the doctor after he got shot. So they're like, it would have been better off to just not see the doctor.
Right. That's why when I got shot, I just walked away. I was just like,
I don't want a doctor for this. Yeah.
They're going to kill me.
They're going to kill me. Well, that was actually coincidentally when Gateau stood on trial for.
Is that
for
the this. Defense? He said, I didn't kill him.
Yeah, that was his defense. He's like, literally, a direct quote was,
what?
Was, I didn't kill him. I just shot him. The doctors killed him. That's a direct quote. I didn't kill him. I just shot him.
I just shot him. I just shot him with that gun that you're going to put on display, right?
Yeah, that's going to be in a museum, right? So they ended up
in Chile.
In Chile? Do I get to go to Chile for this?
A Chilean museum?
Here, all I ask is that you hang me in Chile.
In a museum.
In a museum. So they ended up convicting him and they hung him.
Yeah.
So he goes in to kind of like death row of the day.
Right.
And while he was in death row, he wrote this lengthy poem that he said in the poem. He's like, God commanded me to kill Garfield, and all this like crazy, just crazy theory stuff. But it was like this epic poem.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I bought me a gun because a knife wouldn't do.
God told me to kill Garfield. That last line, man, doesn't really fit. That isn't really, But so he wrote the lengthy poem. Here's the best part about it, though. One, he wrote it from the perspective of a child. So when he was going to his execution, he recited the poem from memory in the voice of a child. So he was like in a falsetto this whole time reciting this poem from the perspective of this child. And
I don't like that at all.
He wrote the poem to be accompanied by an orchestra.
I'm a kid who's going. And you're like, I mean, like, I would execute that person immediately. I wouldn't even let him get to the gallows.
Execute him quicker.
Yeah, kill him faster. Oh my gosh, dude. Like, that's terrifying.
So, yeah, so he's reciting this poem, and he wrote it to be accompanied by an orchestra. And so he kept asking the guards. He's like, where's my orchestra?
Can we get an orchestra, please?
He's like, where is my orchestra?
And they're like, you're
getting my orchestra
executed.
Like, we're not getting you an orchestra. He's like, I need my orchestra. And so, but then he just kept like powering through, and he's like, this is where the orchestra.
I need an orchestra. I need an orchestra. Like, that was just part of the poem. I need an orchestra. Where's my orchestra? The powers that be will never. Where is my orchestra? Will never understand the power of Chilean. My life is over. This would be a lot better if I had an orchestra. And they were like, "We're gonna. I mean, what do you do with that?"
I don't know.
Was there anybody in the crowd who was like, I think we should get him an orchestra? Where was the violins from the Titanic? Where were they at?
Yeah, why are they?
Why was like, there not someone standing by? Get this man. I mean.
And so. In
goodness.
One of the most poetic moments of poetic justice.
Okay. Stupid. Go ahead.
They ended up displaying his revolver at the Smithsonian. But what I love about it is somewhere along the line, the Smithsonian lost it and they don't know where it is. They literally just like, yeah, we misplaced that.
No, his ghost came and took it. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. They misplaced it.
They lost it. They have no idea where it is.
Well, to be fair, it's not what killed him. So
yeah, they should have put the doctor on display.
Here's the doctor who killed Garfield.
Yeah, that's Charles J. Gatow, or Get Out.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't even the most interesting part.
I know.
It's the orchestra for me. My goodness. Ooh, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, what a crazy man. What a crazy man.
Yeah.
Big fan of him.
You know what this episode would be better with?
What?
An orchestra playing, but like a Southern orchestra.
With a French accent.
Like a French orchestra with a southern accent playing fiddles.